Hey guys, thanks for joining us for this 162nd episode in Season 2 of Good Questions with Cameron Dole. Special guests on this episode include entrepreneur and guest speaker Nora Tobin. We'll be talking about some great tips for entrepreneurs. We'll also visit with singers and songwriters The Nashvillians. Got a new Christmas single, Christmas in a Bottle. Also, we'll be talking about their upcoming album release in February. And we'll visit with luxury builder, the ultimate home creator, Scott Hamilton Harris. We'll take listener questions and more. Of course, if you would, please take the time to subscribe, comment, leave some feedback, check out the shop, and of course, share with your friends. Now, in this market, you'd think that a home like this would be worth even more. But I guess it's a little out of the way. Zillow says Santa's house at the North Pole, including his workshop, is now worth over $1 million. The current value is $1,031,401. That's up 19% from a year earlier when it was worth around $870,000. They even posted photos of the property on Zillow.com and somehow managed to get a bunch of details we didn't know. Now, the main house is only 2,500 square feet, was built in 1822. It went through a remodel in 2013 and has three bedrooms, but the 25-acre property also has a big workshop, reindeer stables, a garage for his big red sleigh, and a bunch of tiny houses where Santa's elves apparently live. She is actually a return guest, a friend of the show as well. We've got Nora Tobin with us today. And first off, Nora, thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you for having me. It's so nice to be back here. And I'm just really appreciative to be on today.
And wrapping up the year, going into the holidays. And what difference does the holidays have for you this year around as opposed to last time we talked, Nora?
Yes. Well, I'm really looking forward to this holiday season. I'm committing to the time off. So sometime probably mid next week, I'm going to turn everything off and just be able to be with the family and have this protected time because, you know, it's the one time of year where everybody, I think, does that for themselves.
And I know last time we spoke, we talked about the Nora's Naturals coffee. We're going to kind of go in a different way. And I think we kind of alluded to this a little bit. I'm going to talk about some tips of what aspiring entrepreneurs have to use to be successful. And I know I struggle with that myself, so I'm excited to visit about that today.
Likewise, this is probably my favorite topic because I feel like I've been an entrepreneur and will continue to be for many years to come. So I'm looking forward to sharing anything, any and all that I can that's helped me over the years.
And first off, I mean, you hear the word brand all the time and people ask, you know, what's your brand? Well, my brand is Good Questions with Cameron Dole. That's all I know to brand. But what typically really makes folks say that they have a brand, if you will?
You know, I think there's two different ways to look at brand. I think first is your personal brand. Like, how are you showing up in for your business, but also for others? And I think that starts to resonate. As a business owner, you know, to have different strengths that you identify with. I think Strength Finder is actually one of the best books because it does give you a really clear understanding of what your strengths are. And then to me, being able to activate on strengths rather than just build up my weaknesses has really helped me with my personal brand. So utilizing the fact that I am very enthusiastic. I, you know, it's not always helpful in business, but it helps in different circumstances. So being able to, and creative rather than analytical, building teams around you to support the, your personal strengths, like not always having to do it all, utilizing that as your personal brand and then professional brand. I think, you know, I don't think there's ever this point where you all of a sudden you're just this big brand. I think there's so many steps along the way that really solidifies you as a company and as a quote unquote brand. And I think as long as you have something you're offering, even an individual, that's a brand to me. It doesn't have to be, you know, these massive sweeping brands that are obviously very established, like a Nike or an Apple.
And what are maybe some of the surprising things that folks that think they have entrepreneurial spirit, what do you think is maybe a surprise to them that they think coming in, I just can't achieve that?
I think, you know, one thing, at least I've experienced with entrepreneurial work is that there's really no balance. You know, they always say there's this personal professional balance and you're trying to find the two within your work, but really there's never a moment where you don't, there's always opportunity to do more. And I think it's really one of the most important things for us entrepreneurs is to be able to nourish our own self-care by knowing it's okay to turn off. And I think it's just the tendency of entrepreneurs is to come into any project with full steam ahead, full passion, and real drive, because that's what makes you an entrepreneur, which is invaluable and you need that. But it's also this ability to understand that reconnecting and resetting and like the holidays, like having this protected time will feed that drive.
And as you talked about the holiday slowdown, and this is also when kind of business tends to slow down a little bit, is that the perfect time for you to kind of reevaluate everything that you're doing? Because we've got a little bit more time now and to revamp going into the new year?
Yes, definitely. You know, I think there's this opportunity during the holidays where you know that you're not always having to be around your phone and check email and having to be as responsive as I think we naturally have to be during the year. And I think it's wonderful to take advantage of that. Even just getting off of social media for a couple of days, it has this unbelievable reset to and rewiring essentially of your neurons in the brain. So being able to put all that aside, put it down and just dive into anything you enjoy, whether it's just being with family and friends or cooking or skiing or whatever it is that you're doing this holiday season. I think dropping in fully to that and not just being in one foot in the door and one foot out is also just a great analogy for entrepreneurial work, because I know I've been super guilty of having like 10 screens open and trying to do the Norris Naturals elixirs and then my corporate work and like all these things all at once. And I don't do any of them well. So having that true reset to know that we can't do anything fabulous without giving ourselves that present moment.
And that's one of those things that I struggle with. You know, we work Monday through Friday and then Saturdays and Sundays, that's when you get to do your stuff. You know, you get to do your gig. How do you give yourself permission to take a break? I mean, and how hard is that to mentally grasp that as well?
It's very unnatural. I feel like this last year, my commitment to myself was the 10-minute meditation app, that Calm app. There's a lot of great ones out there. And it was a struggle for a very long time to find time in the day to do 10 minutes of breathing. And it's for your mental well-being. So I know it's extremely important, but it just seemed like the proposal or the email or whatever it might, or the call was much more important than that. So I decided to commit to a certain time of day. For me, it's first thing in the morning, because if it doesn't happen in the morning, it just won't happen it won't happen at like noon throughout the day. So knowing, you know, you just roll right into that 10 minutes before you make your coffee. I combine that with 6-4 ounces of water, just like doing both that, you know, doing the meditation, the water, and then getting on with my day. It's 10 minutes. And that commitment has been really helpful to just finding that balance, if there is such a thing as balance.
Yeah, I know, right? Now, what are the tips if somebody is maybe got the idea? What are maybe some tips for someone to get started, if you will?
I think for just in terms of the protecting of time, I think one really great theory, it's the Pomodoro theory that works really well, is if you're obviously not during the holiday season, but when you're in the midst of your work, doing intervals of work. So doing literally having your timer out, and you can set your timer to 20 minutes, 10 minutes, 45 minutes, whatever you think is the right time for that task. And as soon as you break that focus, as soon as you go check Instagram or email or walk to the kitchen to get a snack, you have to reset that timer. And with that, it gives you this ability really to, number one, be aware of the time that you're spending on all these other superfluous tasks. And number two, really get efficient with the time that you have on a higher level task. So I think that'd be while you're at work, a super important theory. And then while you're on your vacation and while you're hopefully everyone's taking some time for this holiday season, give yourself some time to write. I think actually identifying your goals, and not only just identifying the goals, but writing specific ways of reaching those goals, and both short-term and long-term, is going to be a great way to set up for the new year.
And I know everybody wants to hear the positives and they always want to talk about what the strengths are, but whenever you notice the weaknesses that you have, how do you deal with those without beating yourself up too much about it?
Well, one thing that is helpful is, and I think this can apply to anyone, is the ability to, again, this doesn't take much, like 2 to 3 minutes a day, write out, you know, they've done a lot of studies on journaling and being able to, and I will be the first to admit, I do not do this every day, but the days I do feel a little bit better. And it's just one of those things that compounds, it will add up to help to create these new patterns and new reactive patterns in your emotional state. And one thing that they say is to just spend that 2 to 3 minutes writing things that the positive, like what you're grateful for, you know, things you've accomplished that day, small wins, but then also writing, just as you mentioned, like the negatives, because it's important to identify both. I'm usually glass half full, never want to identify the negatives. So being able to actually write out the negatives, like write out something that you might not be proud of yourself, or something that you might have said to a team member that wasn't your best light, you know, anything that you can identify, at least getting it out there on paper can start to get through your system. And also acknowledging that those are parts of your day that, you know, it's not all perfect all the time.
That's right. Now, Nora, I know you've got some other engagements you've got to get to. I want to make sure and let our listeners know they can find all kinds of information on the website. I wanted to make sure and give them that.
Yes, absolutely. My website is noratobin.com, as well as norasnaturalscoffee.com. So it's great for holiday gifting or corporate gifting. And then I do quite a bit on my Instagram for nutrition, fitness, lifestyle tips. So would love to meet you on there. My Instagram handle is just @NoraTobin.
All right. Well, Nora, I appreciate you carving a few minutes out for us today. I look forward to catching up in the new year. Have a happy holidays and always good to visit with you, my friend.
Likewise. Thank you so much for having me. And to you and to everyone, just enjoy your holiday season. You really deserve it. It's been quite the year for everyone. So I hope you get that protected time and just have all the cookies and cocktails you'd like.
If you could get one gift from one person this year, who would you want it to be? Now, 2,000 Americans voted to see who the best gift givers are, and one person got way more votes than anyone else. Moms give the best gifts in general. Now, moms were voted number one with 18% of the vote, followed by your significant other, 12%, sisters, 10%, brothers, 8%, and dads with 7%. Now, the rest of the top 10 are grandmothers, daughters, friends, grandfathers, and a tie between aunts, uncles, and sons. So who gives the worst gifts? Nephews, family friends, and roommates all tied for last place. Now, the poll also looked at the top reactions we want to see when someone opens a present we gave them, and a surprise looked ranked first. A sentimental "aw" ranked second, laughter was third, and 12% of us are hoping to make someone cry with a gift this year. I actually know how to pronounce their group's name this time. It's not the Nashvillians. It's just Nashvillians.
And yeah, once you get it, you can't not do it.
Well, I know, right? We got Troy, Brett, and Scott with us today. And guys, always great to visit with you, and excited to talk about the new single as well.
Oh, good, awesome. Cameron. Thanks for having us, man. We're happy to be here.
Now, tell us where the Christmas in a Bottle, I've read about it, checked out the video just a few moments ago as well. And tell us where the story for this one, where this one came for you guys.
Well, when Brett came to us and said, "Hey, I think we should do a Christmas song," the first thing we said was like, "What? I don't see it." So we batted around some ideas, and you know, we just sort of fell into this thought of, you know, the lonely guy for Christmas, the guy that's kind of down on his luck. That's sort of our, you know, our brand, our yeah. You know, milieu, if you will.
Oh,
you like that?
We wanted to put a spotlight on, you know, I mean, Christmas is obviously an amazing time. It's my favorite holiday of the year. I think we wanted to put a spotlight on There's a lot of people that spend Christmas alone. There's a lot of people going through a lot of stuff right now, especially with the pandemic. And, you know, family members in the military overseas are not with them. And so they're by themselves. And I think that we wanted to kind of focus on that and the emotion of dealing with that. And I think, you know, some of us have had to deal with that in the past. And so that was, it was, that's kind of, that was kind of the inspiration to write in this.
Yeah. We thought we'd take a sad idea and make it even sadder.
And you do it well.
By adding addiction and alcohol to it. But you know, yeah, Brett's right. I mean, the one thing I think is not a bright spot on the song, but misery loves company. And when people feel, you know, lonely or sad or something, you know, they want to know that it's good to know that you're not alone. So right. I think this might provide a little bit of comfort, even though, you know, it's a pretty dramatic song. You kind of want to wallow a little bit. So this provides a little, you know, wallowing if you want to do that over Christmas.
If you're in that mood, you know.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's good to wallow in it.
Yeah, know? Yeah. There's a bit of a comforting cocoon in that kind of.
But we also added, like, I think online, social media and stuff, we added some helplines for people mm-hmm. dealing with depression through the Christmas holiday, and you know, there's suicide prevention lines and stuff like that that we added to our social media to kind of, you know, put focus on that.
Mm-hmm. Now, this is a bit of a stray from the normal sound we've gotten used to over the last couple singles. And how hard was it to go into a different direction, if you will, or maybe was that a little bit refreshing for you guys?
It was refreshing. That's a good way to put it. I mean, we wrote it on guitar, and the most everything else we have is sort of guitar driven. But you know, Brett said, you know what? He laid down this piano and he said, what if we make this more of a, you know, piano driven song? And then
Troy played it better.
Well, I don't know about that, but I had some ideas I wanted to get out. So
you did play better.
So we kept it really stark, and I think that really served the song. And you know, there's just something about the loneliness of a piano and the drama of a piano. The
piano being added made it, in my mind, made it a completely different song.
Yeah,
I think really Scott's mandolin parts brought it back country. I think that actually pulled it back into the country arena, and with some of the guitar licks as well, and obviously the harmonies and stuff, all bring it back into the country arena. So
now, since last time we spoke was "Who Don't." Was the single that we were talking about last time. Yeah, that's how long it's been since we visited.
That was a while ago.
We missed you.
Yeah, I know, right? How have you guys seen your sound and all of that evolve since we last spoke?
Well, as far as evolution of sound goes, I mean, all of those songs were recorded a while ago, and they were all sort of recorded together. So the sound we have is you know, encapsulated, so to speak. But, you know, moving forward, the new things we're going to record, we're definitely going to keep stretching and keep exploring.
Have to.
I know they got an upcoming album release we're looking forward to in the new year. What else does the new year hold for you guys?
Touring.
Well, yeah, touring. That remains to be seen. But touring is a big one if we can snag it.
Yeah.
More music videos. I know we're about to shoot our video for our next single, which I think is going to be Chickasaw Bayou. Album release February 11th.
Yeah, that February 11th album release is going to be a big day, I think. We're really excited to get all that stuff out there because we've been living with these songs for a while and and we can't wait to show them to everybody.
How has the songwriting been these last few months? I mean, last time we spoke, things were kind of a little more tough getting the inspiration writing. Has that picked up as of late?
Yes, it has. We just had to make up our minds to jump back in the room and just start getting the ball rolling, get your mind working again, you know, And we did that right after we spoke last time. We've been writing pretty consistent again since then. Actually, we just came out of a write to come and do this interview. We had to blow the dust off everything because COVID, you know, some people just didn't want to get in the room with anybody else, you know, and write. So actually being in the same room with somebody again and writing.
Besides the three of us, we're all, you know, we're all exchanging jokes the entire time.
Oh, yeah. Only because we love each other.
Yeah. I'm all hugging going on these writing sessions.
Now, how has I know when we spoke last time, you guys were one of the first groups I'd talked to that was talking about doing like soundtrack and movie inclusion type of music. And how has that been going, getting that word out there as well?
We have a supervisor in LA who's actually championing our stuff, and she's been pitching like crazy for stuff. And we actually have a couple supervisors that are actually working with our stuff. So we haven't had any big placements yet, but you know, that's just a matter of time with that kind of stuff.
Yeah, there's a lot of variables involved when it comes to getting songs cut and songs in movies and TV. You know, you just got to wait till the stars align.
Yeah.
And I know that you guys have a little bit of a darker kind of a outlaw type sound, and going along with that, with the Christmas story, I think this Christmas song plays right into that whole aura that you guys have as well. And Brett on the left. Am I right?
Yeah,
there you go. Okay. I had Brett. I had it right. Talking about mental health and getting that back on the minds of people, because so many folks struggle with that this time of year.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've spent holidays by myself. It sucks. So I know there's lots of people dealing with that. So not everybody's in a holly jolly happy mood, or maybe they are fronting that and they're actually dealing with a lot of internal struggle behind the facade.
Yeah, and what makes the holidays hard is that it's not just that you might be alone this year. It's that everybody else, everything around you is so bright.
Everything on TV, everything on radio.
So it makes you just feel doubly alone. That's why we, you know, that's kind of where the inspiration of the song came from. And what I like, part of what I like about it is that it doesn't claim that you're like this every year. It doesn't, you know, it's just, you know, you just happen to be going through a rough spot now. It's not a forever thing. You know, there are just moments in your life that you have to struggle through.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And how hard is it going along with what we've all dealt with these last couple of years? Are you guys having a hard time finding the upbeat holiday spirit? That's something I've been struggling with. And it seems like it's something I've spoken with several guests over the last couple of weeks as well. It seems like that's kind of a trend going on.
My holiday is all about being with my kids.
Yeah,
and my kids are all like, they're just happy and bubbly everything. So I've got little kids. So and it's, you know, it's awesome. Dealing with that is such an awesome thing, because they're now into Santa Claus and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, your kids bring you into the spirit for sure. My son's a teenager now, so
I was thinking too.
Yeah, the gifts are harder to find, and they're more expensive, and you know, the childlike abandon when it comes to opening gifts is not quite there anymore. So but I think part of the reason that people are feeling this way is it's just the future's so uncertain with everything going on, and you know, we still are not back to normal or back to where status quo where we were, and the idea that we ever will be is up in the air. And I think for a lot of people, it in my mind, at some point you have to decide to get back to normal. You know, you have to realize that this might be a new normal, and this is the way it's going to be, and not think that this is going to be over. It's going to be, you know, it is what it is now. And we still got to live.
You're adjusting accordingly.
Yeah. So there's a lot going on out there, and the uncertainty is what brings in the anxiety and People just need to breathe.
But the kids make it joyous. They bring it back.
Yeah.
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 So. In every writing session, Troy and Scott make it joyous.
The kids.
As you are writing new music now, you've got the album in the bag, if you will, for February 11th. What does the process, the prospects of the music following thereafter? How has the sound evolved, if you will?
Oh gosh, we haven't been in the studio yet, so we don't really know. I mean,
a lot of hip hop.
Well, the producer speaks. No. He's going to bring in a lot of hip hop, so we'll see how that goes.
No, we're not doing that.
It's a little early to tell how it's going to evolve.
Hey, but, nothing against hip hop. I love hip hop.
Yeah. It's a little early to see how it's going to evolve, but, you know, rest assured, what's great about this band is that we're not defined. The only thing that has somewhat of a definition is the grittiness of the language we use and the pictures we paint and the more dark sections of life that we try to portray, that probably won't change much. But as far as how we present it musically, you know, I love the fact that it's just up in the air. We can do whatever we want.
I think it'll definitely develop more. I mean, I think we'll keep some of our through lines of, you know, string arrangements and some of that stuff, that some of the cinematic orchestral stuff that kind of mixed with the organic country sound and some of the programming and that kind of stuff. We'll build upon that.
Yeah. And I think it's going to depend on how successful this is. I mean, the more people say, man, I love that, then, you know, the more we'll say, well, if you like that, check this out, you know?
Now, how you talked about mental health around the Christmas season, and with everything that's gone on, how has mental health been in your industry? I mean, how hard is it to keep a sense of sanity?
I know, right?
Crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, I think everybody's pretty upbeat, really, about the future. Yeah. You know, everybody I see, everybody's doing something. They're preparing for 2022. I mean, right outside the door here in the studio, it's hopping all day. You know, everybody's getting ready, you know.
Yep.
So I think everybody's upbeat about the future.
I don't think music business is much different than any other creative industry or any industry, period. I mean, you just got to keep going.
I think what's really cool is in our industry, people are starting to get out playing, touring again now. They're doing records again. They're doing videos. They're doing all this kind of stuff is really picking back up because it was such a lull of just like somebody slamming on the brakes and just stopping. I think that did have some issues and people, you know, were in a bad place. Some people were in a bad place about that, not being able to do their work for such a long time. But I definitely think that now everyone I see is just content, mm-hmm. and writing, recording, and going on tour. And, you know, so it's pretty awesome.
The single Christmas in a Bottle is available now. Of course, the video also available now. How are the tour dates lining up? Have you guys had many chances to play as of late?
Well, we did something online recently, which was our only thing. But we're in talks with booking agents, so we just gotta wait to see how that pans out.
It'll be next year.
Yeah, it'll be next year before we start touring for sure. And which is the way it should be. I mean, we're supposed to be promoting our album once it's out.
So. Yeah, the industry in November and in December kind of shuts down anyway.
Yeah. Right. Now, how excited are you for that opportunity to get back up on the stage, and how much have you missed those opportunities?
I miss it a bunch. I mean, I miss it so much that I'm doing on weekends right now, I'm just grabbing my guitar and going out and playing little honky tonks and sports bars just to feel the need. You know what I mean?
I think for me, one of the cool things that we're doing is because this is a concept album, it's going to be a show. It's mm-hmm. not just going to be standing up there and playing a bunch of songs. I mean, nothing against artists doing that, but we want to do a show.
Yeah, it's production.
It's going to be a full-on production, so I think we're excited about that.
We've got choreography and everything.
The hip-hop help choreography, like, right?
You haven't lived till you've seen Troy.
Pyrotechnics. Yeah. I've been stretching.
He's going to bust out the tube top, aren't you?
Yeah, yeah. David Lee Roth, maybe.
I know, right? Now, Troy, Scott, Brett, if folks want to keep up as the album release comes up, also the tour dates and all of that social media, where's the best place to keep up with the Nashvillains?
I'll hand it to you guys.
Yeah. Well, the hub is nashvillainsband.com. That's our website. And you can go to all the social medias from there. I'm sure there's links on there. But, we're in the same place as everybody else is. Spotify, Apple Music, all the streaming services. If you Google Nashvillains Band, then you'll get, all of our stuff, and you can go from there.
But they want to see what we're doing on a daily basis. I mean, we're posting daily on Instagram, Facebook, not really TikTok, but we're putting a lot of content on YouTube as well. So those are some, if they want immediate, know what we're doing immediately, that's a good place to check.
Yeah, but we got some pretty pictures on our website, so go check those
out. That's true.
Go check out the pictures too. That's good. Well, again, Troy, Scott, Brett, the Nashvillains, love the new single. And again, check it out. Christmas in a Bottle, check them out. Nashvillainsband.com, and then also the YouTube and anywhere you get your music as well.
That's right. Sure.
Thank you.
Thank you, buddy.
All right. Well, guys, thank you so much for your time again today. Have a happy holiday season, and I look forward to talking, getting close to that release in February.
Well, great, too, Cameron. Brother. Thanks again. We'll great see you next time.
Happy holiday, man.
Merry Christmas.
Now, if you're having guests for the holidays, you better clean. If not, prepared to be judged. 72% of people say that they feel pressured to clean their home if they're having guests over the holidays. Now, someone polled people to find the messy spots we're most likely to judge people for not cleaning. And here are the top 10. Number 1, a dirty toilet. So if you only clean one thing, please make it the commode. Number 2, if your kitchen is a total disaster. Number 3, a trash can or recycling bin that's overflowing. Number 4, bathrooms that are dirty in general. Number 5, a gross shower or bathtub. Number 6, general clutter. Number 7, sticky floors. Number 8, other surfaces that are gross, like tables and countertops. Number 9, dirty dishes in the sink. And number 10, a general pet smell in your home. It is time for our monthly visit with our good friend, the ultimate home creator, luxury home builder, and John Lovitz with the hammer is what I call him. Our good friend, Scott Hamilton Harris. And Scott, always good to see you, my friend.
Oh, it's good to see you, Cameron. You're looking good as always.
First off, how are you feeling? Last time we spoke, you were a bit down, if you will.
Oh, I'm up. It's life takes you out. To take an up, you got to take it down sometimes in life, right?
That's exactly right.
A little adversity makes you stronger. So doing great and happy about it. How are you doing?
I am doing well. We've talked a little bit about this. We got an impending move and the early stages of that starting this weekend. So life is changing.
Yeah. Yeah. We've been chatting about it. I'm glad that, I can be helpful off air too for you.
That's right. Now, Scott, tell us how is the building market right now as opposed to last time we spoke? How's the construction trade going?
We're in the holidays, right? So you've got an exaggeration of some of the delays. Everybody has a deadline of Christmas. It's interesting how clients always tell you when they're moving in, right? it somehow only worked in the construction market. I don't get to go to my doctor and say, I think you'll be done with the surgery by 9:30 because I need to be out. It's one of the few professions that people dictate where it's going to be. So it creates a lot of challenges. And everybody likes to seem to go away and get sick during the holidays. So we're just scrambling, we're pounding the pavement hard. No pun intended there. but we're doing well. We're getting it done. It's making homes for people and God love everybody, but they all got to have Christmas in their homes. So we're going to do it. I'm looking forward to the little break from it as well.
Yeah, I'm sure. And now how much pride do you take whenever you get to see those photos of folks that you've built houses for enjoying the holidays together? How much pride does that make for you?
You know, it has brought me to tears a number of times, and it brings clients to tears because I don't do this for the first position as a business. You know, it was just a hobby. It was a dream. It was, if I can make a home beautiful for somebody, they're going to have a better life. And so when I see that happen for these families and you put your love and intention and intention into these homes and you see it working, right? It's like, it just moves you. It's like, it's like you're building a custom car for somebody. And the first time that guy just, you know, starts it up and you see that smile on his face, he looks like a kid and the thing drives, right? You know, it's like, wow, you know, it was an idea. It was someone's dream. You know, we're dream makers, right? Mm-hmm. You have a dream and we make it true for people. So to watch those moments, it's like those, you know, that show. I don't remember what was the name of that show where, you know, they would build a home for the family in 7 days.
Extreme Makeover Home Edition.
Yeah, this does feel like extreme what we do, but you know, it's very similar in that. That's what happens for these families. So, you know, we spend more time in our homes or indoors than we do anywhere else in our life. You know, it's the ultimate close for us, right? You know, we change our clothes every day. You don't change the house. So
not very often, usually, right?
Not as often. Yeah, not as often.
Now, each month I get blown away by the questions that we get. I actually took a little time a few moments ago and read through these. We got some good ones for you today. I'm excited to kind of hear some of your answers too.
Okay, well, good. I just spent a few minutes looking at them too.
Well, at least you're prepped. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
So our first one comes from Amy, who's in White Plains, New York, and says that she says, I hear a knocking sound in the wall of my bathroom whenever I run the hot water. Why is that?
Well, the question is it on the other side of the bedroom? I mean, that's usually where bathrooms are. But, you know, I used to hear that sound when I was a kid, too. And my parents told me it was the pipes knocking. But, you know, it's a very common problem. So, Amy, it's a really good question to have. And it's a problem that needs to be addressed, because if you don't address it, you're actually causing damage in your water pipes, which can lead to a leak. I don't know if you've ever heard that sound that, you know, you turn off a water valve and boom, you know, right? Just there's a big clunk somewhere. And, you know, what's happening is, you know, from a scientific perspective, is you have water that's essentially moving through at a high speed, right? It's like cars moving through the highway. Yeah. Then when you close the water valve, boom, you know, everything shuts and it hits it. And if so there, if your pipes weren't designed in a way where there's a place for the water to back through or back up or release the pressure, you're going to get that. And every time it does it, a little bang is going to loosen the pipes and it loosens the fittings. And eventually, you know, it'll loosen something to the point the water's going to find a new way out and you won't have banging anymore. That'll be the good news. But there's an easy solution. There's they call it water hammer too. And they have water hammer devices that we put on the homes, but you can also retrofit your home. You know, what you want to do is find the sink or wherever it is that's causing it. If you're fortunate enough that it's a sink, which usually it is, you can put something under the cabinet and screw it in. Most, you know, Amy, I don't know if you have a husband, a boyfriend, a son. Go to Home Depot. You can go and buy it and just screw it under the sink. It's about as easy as putting on a hose on the hose bib. So give it a shot. And if that doesn't work, then something else is happening in the house that we can talk about later.
Resubmit that question if that doesn't fix it.
Yeah, there might be another problem.
There you go. Now, the next one comes from Carlo, who's in Santa Clarita, California. And he says, we're thinking of changing our original kitchen and bathroom tile. Said the house was built in the 50s and someone said it might contain lead. Can you give more information about that and if it needs to be removed in a special way?
Well, I'm excited. Carlo, you live near where I work, so I can actually go and help you on this one. It's interesting. There's so much attention that's been given to Asbestos. So great question. I'm kind of surprised to hear these from people now. It shows there's an awareness. You know, asbestos is something that's a little overrated when you talk about the level of priority of what the toxins are in homes. Lead is probably one of the most significant of toxins that is in a lot of the older homes. It's in the paints. And surprisingly, it's in very high levels in tile. And the way that you can tell or get a sense of it is if your tile is one of those, Cameron, you've ever seen those tiles that are like those beautiful wine shades or orange or greens?
Mm-hmm.
Those are usually like a surefire, oh yeah, you got lead, you know, the older ones, right?
Right.
And so does porcelain, you know, sinks do, toilets have it. And it's not until it becomes friable, which means it becomes inhalable, does it become significantly bad. Remember the story about the Mad Hatter, where there was the crazy Mad Hatter?
Oh, yes.
Well, that actually is based on reality because the hatters would put lead inside the hats to shape them. And so the people putting the lead in the hats would then, you know, inhale a little bit during the day. And what it does, and I think it's important to share this so people know, the lead goes in the body. It replaces the other metals that would normally be in there. And it acts as a neurorestrictor. And so the electrical signals that are going to the brain and the body can no longer move through because lead is not a conductive material. And so that's what happens. So it's pretty significant. And so the Mad Hatters, they would actually get kind of wonky. They would walk around the streets all like, hey, hey, you know, they all went mad.
Huh.
But significant. And if you have a child that gets a small amount of lead in them, it's really dangerous. And so all it takes is a little paint on the wall and the kid's eating it, right? Mm-hmm. So long story, I'm kind of passionate about this because, and I'm glad you asked this, Carlo, because you always see these shows where they're just smashing the tile. Look at this. There we go. It's great. You know, there is a machine that they have that's a handheld device that you can hire somebody for a few hundred dollars. And it actually has a little radioactive signal. So it makes me always want to stand back. They scan it and it'll do an X-ray of the material and it'll tell you what the lead content is in there. If they do find lead content, not a big deal. They dissect, you know, you wrap it with plastic. They will go into the hazmat suits, remove it. You're done. Pretty easy. So for a few hundred dollars, you can find out if you've got lead in your home. And I think most people should do it. Most of the homes before the 70s do have some degree of lead. If you have a home from the 20s or the 30s or the 40s, you're almost guaranteed. And I've had them use that. You know, I think there's like safe levels are like between 0.04 and 0.07. Use that machine on some of those older tiles. And it's off the chain. You can't, you know, it can't read it. It's beyond the 10. So take care of that stuff. Yeah.
That's cool. Carlo, good question from Santa Clarita. Next up, Ladera Ranch, California. We've got Brady who asks, how can we give our brick faced fireplace a new look? Repaint or can we cover it, with what? And is it something that we can actually do on our own? So several questions there.
Yeah, it's a lot, Brady. It sounds like the Brady Bunch question. They had that brick fireplace in the Brady Bunch.
Yes, they did.
You know, when I used to watch Mike back then, Mike Brady, if anyone ever watched that thing, he was the architect. And like, you know, I want to be an architect. That looks great. You got a cool house. You got a great family. You got the maid. Turns out it doesn't really pay that well. So
not quite like they make it out to be.
It didn't really work out that way. Yeah, it didn't work out that way. But fireplaces are usually comprised of two components. You have the box itself, the firebox, right? And those are masonry. The decorative part, though, is brick. And everyone thinks they're connected. It's just decoration. And on a lot of our projects, we will remove the brick. Really easy to remove the brick. When you remove the brick, do not damage the masonry inside the box and you'll have a problem. You'll have a big problem. And now in California, you can't build the masonry fireboxes anymore. Wow. So they're grandfathered in just for, you know, I can't say, I'm not going to say I agree or disagree here, but you know, it has to do with energy standards and clean air. And so, you know, nowadays they have some nice alternatives, but it's just, you know, it's like watching an aquarium. Right. Mm-hmm. You know, fire by an aquarium. And so what we do, though, is when we find these old fireplaces, it's nice to keep them because they're grandfathered in. You don't have to remove them if they're there. So here's a nice thing to do. And I don't know if you have a fireplace in your new place that you're getting.
There is not one in that place.
Okay, well, you're not getting one now. Not. Too late. You can get a, we'll get you a box, fire box. We can get you one of those like ones from Costco where they have to, you know,
right?
The flames that just move back and forth.
Just a screen.
The screen, yeah, picture. A screensaver.
Yep.
So for those who are fortunate enough to have them, you can remove the brick, a couple different things. What we like to do for the homes is there's a lot of antique mantles. You'd be surprised out there from these homes in Europe or estates where they were dismantling them. And you can buy them at, I won't say at auction, but they'll have them available, right? So they'll go and they'll take the, and they salvage them. And you can see these stone antiques that from like from the 1400s, 1600s, 1800s, sometimes as little as $1,000, $2,000.
Wow.
And what's important is you need to measure the inside of your box. If you take off the brick and you simply have a mason, you know, or stone tile installer, they'll put a couple screws and some anchors and some glue. I'm simplifying it. And they put it around there. And you've got a beautiful new fireplace. And it's amazing. Now, most times when you find it, and sorry, it's not happening at your house, Cameron, but, you know, it's almost never the same size, right? They're always usually a little bigger. So what we do is we take stone and we'll put it around the opening. So in other words, where the opening box is between the mantle legs and mantle and the box, you fill it in with absolute black. I don't know if you've ever seen that, but it's just absolutely black. It's mad. You know, you stand back a foot or so and you're not fooling anybody, but it just all looks black. So your fireplace that was like 2 feet by 3 feet, it's like now 4 feet by 4.5 feet. It looks huge. Beautiful mantle, place to put the Christmas ornaments and hang the stockings. And great, great thing to do for a house. Like really good, good question.
Now that leads us up. Our last question comes from Jessica in El Paso, Texas. And she says, do you have a project that you're most proud of and what made it so special to you?
Well, since you didn't clarify, project I'm most proud of and what made it most special to me is my two boys. So That's what first comes to mind. But I know this isn't a family show.
Not always.
That's the problem. But you know, I would say the project I'm most proud of is, I think it's one that you've seen. You know, we've dubbed it the castle. You know, it's just over 30,000 square feet. The entire building is clad in limestone. I think it's only one of eight buildings that's ever been done that way, you know, in the entire vicinity of Los Angeles.
Wow.
It's just something that's not done. We've got the entire outside just in hand carved limestone, you know, and the interiors are just spectacular. It's, and I was there the other day with my client and we're walking in the entry and I'm like, hey, what are you going to say when people open the door? Like, I mean, you're standing in this thing, Cameron. It's just like, I mean, it's epic. You can't describe, you know, that feeling, right? But it just is. You're like, so when you ask people to come over, they open the door, this big bronze door. Come on in. You want a drink? What do you want? Like, it's going to feel a little, welcome to my castle. You guys don't want to watch TV? I mean, it's spectacular. So I think we're going to be shooting a show there shortly and recording the progress of it. But it's amazing. It's amazing. Not only that, but the view. I don't know if you're familiar with Los Angeles at all. Do you know where the Griffith Observatory?
Yes, sir.
And there's a whole vicinity there from Los Feliz. So this was William Meade's original home. And he was one of the main... He owned everything. It was Griffith owned everything on this side and Meade owned everything to Western Avenue, if you know where that is. So they eventually, then he sold it off into little pieces and became Los Feliz. So this is the original founder's home that's being completely restored. And it might be a little better than it was, maybe. Spectacularly better. But there's a few, there's like two studs, I think, that we left behind. So, you know, I saw them the other day. So it's still a remodel.
Now, is it the immensity of the project that makes it so special? Or is it that from hearing you talk about it, I think it's the history that stands out so much for you on this project as well, right?
Yeah, you know, it's like people always try to put things in a box and they don't really all fit in a box, right? You know, the mm-hmm. things are complex. They're not black and white. So to your point, you know, well said, it's the history of the project. It's the restoration, the ability to restore something that once stood, that was magnificent, that was one of the landmarks of Los Angeles. The fact that there's been multiple owners through the years that tried to tackle this restoration, and they would take a little part and put something back together, and they couldn't, you know, to be able to be the people finally chosen to bring this back to life. You know, it's like, it's not the Mona Lisa, but, you know, it's that old piece of art that you finally restored back to what it looked like back in the day, but you made it better. The clients are great. You know, the team that we have on there is great. The view is just amazing. You know, you just have this 360 view up, and you know why he picked, you know, of all mm-hmm. places. You imagine if you have all of Los Feliz available to you, and you go, what's the best spot to build my dream castle? You know, so he picked it, right? And that's where it is. So it hits every note. And then, you know, the architecture inside, the design of it, it's really spectacular. I think it's going to be a new landmark for the city of Los Angeles when this is done. So to be a part of it, to be on the team that's doing it, brings me a lot of pride. And I think there's going to be, thankfully, they don't want to move in for this Christmas, next Christmas, though.
That's a good thing.
Yeah. So, and there might be some big tears back then of joy when they move into that home and realize what they've been given.
That's cool. That's cool. Now, I was noticing, I saw a story on the AP yesterday talking about some new laws dealing with propane and the worries of that on the environment. I was going to ask you, when people are looking at heating and things like that, do they need to start looking for alternative forms? Do you think that's going to affect the rest of the U.S. in the near future?
Yeah, I think it is. I mean, they're going to be ruling out natural gas is not something that's going to be used anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, it's which is probably a smart thing, but there's also a lot of political things behind it. But yeah, I mean, you know, the reality is we are probably going to be moving toward everything being electrical, right? Mm-hmm. And then using alternative energy sources to collect it. Mm-hmm. Right now, probably, you know, there's days I agree with it. There's days that I don't agree with it, but it's an evolution of energy. I mean, I guess what is good about electricity, if everything is electric, is that it is reproducible under very, you know, a lot of different means, right?
Right.
I mean, use coal to make it. You can use the waves of the ocean to create electricity, generators. I mean, you can use natural gas to fire something up to create electricity. So, ironically, to turn the turbines, but you can use solar power, wind power. There's so many different ways to create it. You know, unfortunately, though, it's not the most efficient use right now to have electricity, and the forms that we use to create electricity are kind of maybe don't pencil out immediately. But I think in the long term, everything will be an electric wave, electric cars, and God help us when there's electrical outages. And I'm buying stock in the water and power business. So
I know, right?
I sold my gas stocks. I sold the oil stocks. We're going to be all electrical. And God help us. And remember, we did something. It was a project where we were trying to get some support from the local Department of Water and Power. And I was talking to the mayor of Los Angeles asking for help. He's like, I can't even do anything about this. He said, here's what happens. When we ask for something, when they want to, and we don't get it, they'll ask us for a hike rate, right? If we don't do it, rolling blackouts suddenly hit. Nobody knows why. So they pretty much get everything they want. So, you know, it's unfortunate, though, that we're going to be controlled by with electricity as being distributed by the grid. And I think ideally, if there's a way where we can get off of the grid and collect our own electricity, it does remove, it creates, or blocks the monopoly that we're going to be moving toward as well. because it's nice to be able, I like to get my bill from the gas company. You know, I like to get from the water. Like I can switch off if I want. If I want to use a gas dryer or electric dryer, I have choices. So you won't in the future, right? So I think there'll be a lot of attention in the future as to, you know, how do we gather electricity and who's distributing it?
Yeah, like I said, I saw that. I think it came through either yesterday or the day before, and I was like, ah, that's a good note. I'm going to have to ask Scott about that one. So
yeah, no, it's good. And what I like about doing these with you, you bring up really good questions, Cameron, you know, and you make me think about things, because sometimes you're just too busy doing what you have to do and, you know, fixing someone's night, knocking pipes, right? Mm-hmm. Or getting ready for the next meeting. So I appreciate the time that we have together. That's and I hope others do too, because that they can hear a few things that maybe they didn't think about as well.
Mm-hmm. And Scott, if folks want to check out all of the projects we've talked about, maybe have any questions, where's the best place? The website still?
The website still, yep. Yeah, the viewers are going up on that, so I've been seeing it. No one's asking directions on how to get to my office, so I'm imagining it's coming from you. But it's scott@buildingcgroup.com is my email address. The website is buildingcgroup.com. Name of the company is Building Construction Group, and it's always good to get followers. So on Instagram, because apparently that's more important than Bitcoin. That's the new medium that we have. Well, I don't care about how many followers do you have. I still don't get it. But anyway, it's Scott_Harris_building is on Instagram. So
there you go. Well, Scott, it's always great to visit with you, sir. Glad you're feeling better. I hope you have a great holiday season and look forward to what 2022 has for us.
Me too. Thank you, and have a wonderful Christmas, Cameron, to you and your family and all your listeners.
Well, thanks again for joining us for this 162nd episode in Season 2 of Good Questions with Cameron Dole. If you ever have a comment, question, maybe anything else you'd like to know, you can hit me up on the contact page at gqwithcam.com. You can also find me on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, and Facebook at GQ with Cam. If you'd like to help out in the funding for this podcast, you can visit our merch store where we've got hoodies, shirts, tumblers, mugs, stickers, and more, gqwithcam.com/shop. And if you have a special guest idea, just email me, Cameron@gqwithcam.com. We do want to say thanks to our good friend, Brandon Allen. Sure appreciate him coming up with the music for our podcast. We're going to let him play us out. Hope you guys have a great rest of your week.